Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, Let It Be. Thank you to Glynis, Don, and Ed for being involved in the video. We're very excited to be able to welcome people back to in-person meetings starting today, June 13th. We'll continue to record and post the services. The scripture reading is Philippians 4, 6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship here at the Beamsville Church. And we're excited to be presenting another service to you this week. We have a few announcements to begin, some stuff that has to do with our family here. Aisha and Daniel and Connie are going to be celebrating birthdays this week. That's exciting. And congratulations to Herman and Esther. Herman and Esther, when they were students at Great Lakes, attended here. And then they went off and got their education and then came back when they purchased a little restaurant downtown, Beamsville. And they were married yesterday in Hong Kong. So we celebrate that with them and look forward to them coming back. And when we're back meeting, the church was meeting in person again, we'll welcome them at that point. A few prayer concerns, healing for Marie and Wanda and Melissa. Wanda is a former member of our church. She had bypass surgery yesterday. And while she was awaiting that surgery, her daughter, Melissa, had a heart attack. So we look forward to, again, being in prayer for them. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this time that we can be together. We're grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world to show us how to live in humility, showed us how to live in connection with you, showed us how to live in a way that would bring honor and glory to you and your name. We're thankful for our church family here, for the continued work of so many away from the building, and we're looking forward to a time in the future when we can be back together and being worshipful and attentive to each other's needs in person. We're thankful, Father, for this time that we can be together, and we pray your blessing on our time, that we might bring honor and glory to you, draw close to you, and to give you the praise that you are due. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We welcome you wherever you are. When you hear this message, we feel like we're part of you no matter where you are in this world. I want to share a message today that may at first seem rather maudlin, but it isn't at all. What unites us more than anything else in this world, besides our relationship with God and one another, what really does unite us, it's not our victories, but often what unites us is our sorrows. It can bring us together. And we forget about that until something happens in the world and it reminds us of, oh yeah, there's some deep tragedies that happened this past week. As you know, the discovery of 215 unmarked graves of Indigenous children buried on residential school grounds brought such overwhelming grief and suffering, especially to parents who had their children go to those residential schools, and somehow they never did come back. And there were excuses and reasons that never made any sense. And now the suffering is lessened somewhat because we know where those children had gone. I suspect what unites us in this world is not our victories, because many people have never had any victories in their life. But sorrow is a great teacher. In fact, Scripture reminds us, in this world, you will have trouble. And it doesn't matter who we are. So if you're hearing this message, and maybe you've seen the video just previously, to watch and listen to Paul McCartney, a prolific songwriter, along with his friend, sing this wonderful song, Let It Be. It was written very, very personally. As he said, his mother died when he was a young teen. And in a dream, Paul's mother came to him because he was struggling, wondering how he could live, how he could go on, just he and his brother and father. And she said in the dream, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I'll come to you when I can in your dreams. And Paul McCartney said he's had many dreams about his mother, who had passed away for years. And she communicates with him her love for him and says, let it be. Everything's going to be all right. So he wrote, when I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me. You know, for years, I had no idea the genesis of that song. When it said Mother Mary comes to me, I thought he was talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. No, he was talking about his own mother. And the understanding that we all have sorrows in our lives. Let me read to you the actual lyrics from this song. When I find myself in times of trouble, my mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she's standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. And when the brokenhearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be. And then he repeats it. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. And when the night is cloudy and there's still a light that shines on me, shine till tomorrow, then let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. One of the great things as Christians is that we can give ourselves totally and completely to God. We don't have to hold anything back. We don't have to keep any secrets. We can just let it be. Let it go to Him and let it be. And let Him take the troubles from us. Come to me, all of you who are burdened, he says. And you remember the promise? I will give you rest. There's a double point there. He wants us to give it all. Don't hold anything back. Give it all to him. Give all those troubles, those anxieties, those difficulties, those pains, those sins, those horrible events. Give it all to him. And trust him. Just let him do it. Let it be. A common ground for all of us in life is our trouble. Trouble comes to the righteous and trouble comes to the unrighteous. And probably one of the great lament psalms in all the Bible is Psalm 88. Now it's interesting. In all of the psalms, there is usually a cry. There's usually an expression. There's usually a theme to the psalm, but it always resolves toward the end. Psalm 88 is the only lament psalm that has no resolve. It has zero resolve. And I'm glad it's there. Because sometimes we can feel that way too. I want to read to you the words. Most psalms express sorrow, horror, troubles, but there's always a resolve at the end of it. Not this. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it's overwhelming. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. My prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of trouble and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like a person without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. By the way, I don't believe that's what a God ever does, ever cuts us off. But can you feel the sorrow, the frustration of this person, not even able to feel God? And then he says, blaming God, you have put me in the lowest pit. In the darkest depths, your anger, your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me, and your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. You'll never hear a psalm like that, because it is the lament of lament psalms. And I don't know if this person ever did get back to God and feel close to God, but I know one thing, and maybe many of you know the same thing, that we've all had trouble, we've all had despair, we've all been embarrassed by our sins, we said things we shouldn't have said, we've done things we shouldn't have done. But we also know that God puts his arms around us. He loves us. Even in our anger and frustration, he loves us. The sermon is called Let It Be, because in all of our lives, we've had difficulties and we give it to God and then we let it be. Sometimes we're frustrated because we give all our sorrows to God, and we wonder, how come God isn't answering our sorrows? Sometimes we can be so frustrated with God, but as time goes on, we know that the majority, if not all of those things, have turned out in a positive way. And even if they haven't turned out in a positive way, we've learned how to come alongside people who've had great, great sorrows. And one of the great teachings of Jesus is sometimes when he said nothing, but he came alongside those who are looking for answers because of their troubles. book of Matthew at the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus comes and all the people are there surrounding him, listening to what he wants to say. There's this silence without the Bible ever saying there's silence. I think he looks at the people and his heart goes out to them. And he wants them to say, you are going to have sorrows in life. He wants to say it to them and then to the next one and to the next one and the next one and the next one. We're not unusual because we have sorrows and difficulties and troubles in life. But it's the fact that God is with us. Sometimes there are no words. There are no words. When 215 children are buried outside of a residential school, unmarked graves, parents who sent their children for what they thought was a good place, there are no words that can be spoken. So we call out to God. Call out to God from the bottom of our hearts. Oh God, in this world there is such trouble. Please come alongside people who are hurting and are in great, great despairs. Here's what Jesus said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. But Paul and other New Testament writers and Old Testament writers takes up this anthem of let it be in the middle of terror and sorrow. One of the great writers of the New Testament because of dealing with sorrow is the Apostle Paul. So I want to read to you, it's somewhat of a lengthy passage, but it's a great passage based on what we're talking about today. Romans 8, beginning in verse 18. Listen to these words. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That does not negate the suffering. There's a better future, but that does not stop the sufferings. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Many of us have been to funerals of loved ones whom we love. And even though words of comfort are being shared, it just sometimes rings a little hollow because we're not there yet. Sufferings are part of our life. And Paul says there is a future. But right now, you probably don't feel that good thing about the future. But there is a future. And someday you will. And you'll experience what he says. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage. That one day, those sorrows will be gone. Those things that kept us in bondage in this world, it'll be eliminated. It will be gone. Liberated from its bondage and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoptions of sons, the redemption of our bodies. No matter what's happening in life, the weight of the world on our shoulders, there is a future. And it's in Jesus. And as Paul McCartney said, believed, and sang, give it to him. Let it be. Let it be. We don't have all the answers, but we wait, as he says in verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So let it be. Let the worst come, but let it be. It's this uniting of the world where it seems like the world is often broken up into pieces. Those who have power and those who don't, those who have wealth and those who have don't, those who have opportunities and those who have don't. All of us, no matter who we are, share this world together. And so we remember what Jesus said. No matter what, we trust in him. God comforts those who suffer if we give it to him. In a marvelous passage of scripture, Paul, who suffered at great lengths many times in his life, wrote something that I thought was profound. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it's a powerful passage about God comforting us in sorrow. So I'm not sure what your experience has been like, but we know what it is to comfort a child in sorrow. How many of us remember when our babies were young, and maybe they were ill, maybe they had a fever, and they just can't get comfortable, and you hold them, and you just do everything you can, and they're crying, and they're upset, and it's really difficult, and they don't want us to leave. They want our arms around them. And then as the minutes go by, maybe sometimes hours go by, then you feel them as you hold them. Now they're comfortable. Now they're at peace. It took a while to get there. They're ill, but they'll get better. Let it be. And I think that's part of us in this world. We'll have trouble, but we give it to him, and he takes it. The 2 Corinthians 6, he says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, oh my, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work. Oh my goodness, the list is incredible. In truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as imposters, known yet guarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing absolutely everything. So let me wrap this up. And Peter talks about this. If there's a theme book that has to do with suffering, it has to be the book of 1 Peter. Job, obviously, in the Old Testament. But in 1 Peter, he talks about this. In 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it's time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? You know, it's interesting, in that video that we saw, Paul McCartney, they would say, how did Paul McCartney ever have any troubles in his life? And if you know his story, You know that he's a remarkable man, very generous man, but a man who's had sorrows in his life. Again, talking about his mother who passed away, and this love of his life, Linda. And after a few years, she contracted cancer and she passed away. And yet, you'd never find anyone more positive than Paul. The Apostle Paul, yes. And Paul McCartney, whoever knew? Yeah. What unites us in this world is not always our victories. It's what we've lost, who we've lost, our sorrows. But it's okay. Because God's arms have not only been around us, they are around us. And they always will be around us. And the lessons that we can learn from his love and his support, and the sorrow we feel for families who wondered for years what happened to their children, sent off to school, and somebody finds out that they're buried in a grave outside a school that was supposed to love and support and teach them? How do you respond to that? What do we do with that? Yeah, in this world, you will have trouble. Take heart. My arms are around you. I've overcome your world with love, with grace, and we will be together someday. Amen.
Good morning. This week I had a very dear friend of mine undergo a surgery for a precancerous condition. She had to have a complete hysterectomy. She's a dear friend of mine. We have been friends for a gazillion years, and really in many ways is a mother to my faith. She has walked with me. She has discipled me. She has spoken the truth in love to me. And honestly, really, truthfully, I count her as the person whom God put in my life to transform me. There are no words to even describe the role that she has played. She's several years younger, not quite a decade, but several years younger than I. Throughout her whole life, she has struggled with her weight, up, down, up, down, up, down. And through the pandemic, it has not gone well for her weight. And because of her weight, the surgeon and the anesthetist said, truly, there's a chance that you will not make it. You need to speak to your family and your friends. And so, you know, when someone says that to you, it's like, okay, like the in some ways the cancer isn't really the precancer isn't the thing. It's like, I could die on the table. And she spoke to us a couple of weeks ago, and then she had the surgery very quickly, within a month. So you know that they're on top of this. So when she got into the pre-op area, the anesthetist came and met with her, and she said to him, I want you to know I've prayed for you. And like his whole demeanor changed. He said, really? You prayed for me? She said, yep, I've prayed for you. And he said, I will bring you through this. It's amazing what just hearing that will do to another human being that you've prayed for them. It's just such a deep way of caring, even though I didn't really even know you. But really for her, this walk through I guess the potential of the Valley of Shadow of Death is a win-win. She said that this morning. She said, really, it's a win-win. It was a win-win. I was going to die on the table and win the goal of my faith. Or I was going to wake up and win more days. So it was really a win-win. That really is let it be. And for those of us who were sort of waiting for her and praying for her and the team heading up to it, that was how we had to manage our anxiety, really. It's like, you know what? God has this. It will be what it is. He is God. He is wise. He knows. Let it be. Just let it be. She texted me after the operation, once she got into, you know, a state of mind that she could, they did have to do a full general anesthetic, which is the most dangerous. She said, I woke up alive. I woke up alive. And it's, you know what, for so many of us, that's really, it's sort of that kind of crossover between I get to wake up alive every day and Jesus, I mean, he had to have done the same thing. I woke up alive. I mean, he knew that he was going to, but still, it's like, I woke up alive. I died, and then I woke up alive. And what an amazing promise that is for us who call ourselves believers, who have, you know, been baptized into his name, that we wake up alive. We wake up alive every day. We wake up alive to a transformed life. We wake up alive when we die. It's so amazing. And for me, thinking about sharing communion this week, it was like, oh, this is so awesome. I can both let it be and I woke up alive. How cool is that? And the Bible, of course, talks to this. So in 2 Peter 1, and I haven't done it all, but roughly verses 1 to 8. Peter writes, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature. I woke up alive. Having escaped the corruption from the world caused by evil desires, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we pray for the communion, let's just keep in mind we have these precious promises that we can truly let it be because God is able. God loves us. We are his precious, precious children, and we are so grateful. Dearest Lord God, truly you are amazing. God, that you gave us Jesus to walk before us, to show us how to live through these sometimes crazy troubles and unexpected things that happen to us. God, whether we be parents, whether we be just walking through the troubles of our lives. God, you have shown us through your Son how to live faithfully. And God, as we think about taking the bread and the wine, God, we are so thankful that you've given us these to remember every week or however many times during a week that we can commune with you and show you our gratitude. God, we humbly come before you and we ask you to bless this time together of reflection, of just being so grateful that we can trust you to let it be. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I sing in a Grimsby celebration chorus, and twice a month for the last year, we have a pub night on a Friday night. We get together and we prepare songs and we sing to each other. Well, about 6 months ago, one of the chorus members said, I would like to hear Ed sing Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen. Oh, is it okay? So 2 weeks later, and in the 2 weeks I prepared the song, it just seemed like a lament to me. He wrote 88 verses to this song, and the ones that he recorded were just sort of laments. Well, I decided that I was going to sing this song, but I wanted to contrast it with a joyful hallelujah. So in the chorus, when there's multiple hallelujah, hallelujah, I raised it up gradually, and then I sang our version of the Hallelujah chorus that's in our hymn book. See, there's the lament, which is a lament hallelujah, and then there's a joyful hallelujah, and we have been reminded of that this morning, that there is this lament, but there's this joyful, jubilant hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God for his mercies and his grace and his looking after us in our laments and giving us something to be joyful about in hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for the circumstances of life that help us to be turned to you in just a feeling of fear and hopelessness, and every time we do that, we come away from that experience knowing that you have our backs and that you look forward to us being in your presence in eternity. I raise to you the following people that we know that need our prayers and need your help and intervention. To Marie and to Wanda and to Melissa and to Vinoda and his family, we raise these people that they need your strength and mercy and healing, and we pray for a blessing of healing. And we celebrate with Michael as he's gone back to work today, several weeks away from being blind and being able to see and carry on with his life. Indeed, a miracle that you have bestowed upon him, and we are grateful for that. We pray, Father, that we might live our lives and face our difficulties that will come along with a vision that you're with us and that you care for us and that you give us a purpose to live and a purpose in dying. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.